Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What are we going to do with the time shift?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That's like from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people will become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, the Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, download that Rain Man Digital app. That's on the iTunes App Store, Google Play Store. Search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher. Once you get there, leave us a review. It helps the show out a lot. We appreciate it. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And Angelica Dawn.
Me too.
I was getting to your name. Calm down, psycho.
I'm just really excited, you guys.
I can tell how excited you are in your voice.
Pretty stoked.
I actually am really stoked, too.
I think we all, like Angelica was sending me texts. I had sent Ryan some texts earlier, and then I knew exactly when he started watching because I started getting texts back. Honest to God, I'm putting show notes together, and I look at the Wikipedia, and they added this graph of ratings.
Yeah.
And if you look, when it slowly starts going up when we thought the show got better. And so it's slowly starting to go right back up. And so the premiere actually ratings were decent.
I'm going to go out and say it. We just did the show. We just did the show for Flash. And for episode two for Flash, but I'm going to say comparing the two shows, the premiere episode or preview episode or,
premiere.
I don't know why I couldn't say premiere for some reason. Arrow won, hands down. I love the Flash episode. It was good. The premiere, but I think Arrow won.
Oh, Arrow's won so far. Legends is the only one that hasn't come back yet. And that's going to be on a completely different planet.
Yeah.
Like, not planet, like, in the universe.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, not idea. Like, it's just out
right.
there.
Ideology.
Yes. Yeah. So.
I didn't say that word right, but you know
matter.
What I meant.
Yeah, I got you.
But
we're back.
We're back. Dude, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited for the season.
Yeah.
And where we're going. We've got so much to talk about.
The three original, the OG DC on CW people are together once again.
Yeah. Look at that. What do you know?
About damn time.
About
damn time. I'm hoping that we don't see the hate train at all this season.
I hope if it is, it's something stupid and funny.
Yeah. It's a funny reason.
Not an angry.
Yes. Yeah. Not an angry. Yeah. Angry hate train is different than funny hate train.
So
nitpicky hate train.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
It's a step in the right direction.
It's not a fart.
And
like last season.
Everything that they did, I liked, and I can't wait to actually talk about it.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Let's get through this news so we can actually talk about it.
Absolutely. So, so today we will be breaking down and discussing Arrow Season 7, Episode 1, Inmate 4587. Oliver adjusts to life in the big house prison. Going to be a good episode. Let's go right into the news because we really want to power through this. All right. So, first thing we're going to talk about, and probably the whole time we're going to talk about, is some Elseworlds news. We really want to get Angelica's thought process on this. So, because we haven't heard from her, this would be good. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the leaked pictures that have come out of Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell standing next to Superman, and Superman's rocking the all black suit. I dig it. I think it looks cool, man. It looks sleek. I talked about, again, what's the guy's name?
Tyler, whatever.
The guy that plays Superman in Supergirl looks like fucking Superman.
Yes.
He's got the right build. I never envisioned my Superman being this super buff yoked dude. And don't get me wrong. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I think he looks great too as well. I just always had this kind of sleek look for Superman in my mind. And I think he looks perfect in the suit. He's got the right jawline, the hair, everything. But the black suit, man, it looks really good.
It's slimming.
Black is pretty slimming. I wear a lot of black. I wear a lot of black. When I was 50 pounds heavier, all I wore was black. I wanted to look.
Now that we're doing this video shit, I got to start wearing black.
You're like, fuck, where's my black shirts?
I just got puff up the chest when I'm on camera.
Just sit like this. Hey, guys, I'm here today on Dizzy. I'm out of breath.
I was
sucking it in, so I ran out of breath there. No, I think the suit looks really, really good. And I think I'm excited to see kind of what the idea behind it is. You know, and I think, Bobby, you brought up a really great point on Flash that this is a poke at DCU. This is an absolute stab at DCU for them to do the black suit on
the TV show.
The TV shows.
Which is not allowed to do anything.
Yeah, nothing.
And so, you know, again, what I like about this is the Elseworld theme. And we all know what the Elseworld is. And for Arrow fans that haven't listened to the other shows, Elseworlds are like the what if stories of the DC universe.
Right. Marvel had the what ifs. DC had Elseworlds.
Yeah, and so you can go outside of canon, and that's why I'm so excited about this crossover is they could do whatever the fuck they want.
Anything, dude. Anything. They could do so many things. They could kill everyone.
They could make Stephen Amell Flash and Grant Gustin Arrow.
Dude.
Which I'm interested to see how
that Yes, I think out. We all are. Like,
I really want to – this is what I want to know, okay? We know that the Flash is – quirky and it says jokes and
like body type wise, like is he gonna have to go through the trials at the island? Like how is he gonna be?
Right. Is he gonna be just straight up cut and have like the dick V down there like Stephen Amell does?
Dick V.
It's a thing. The dick V.
That's for sure. It's a thing. It's a good thing.
But what I'm really interested about is are we gonna see a very hardened
Flash?
Like flat
I was wondering that though too. I was like, I haven't really noticed if he's like bulking up or anything, or if they would just do like kind of like a mo capture and put his face on there.
Muscle suit under the suit for sure.
Muscle suits. Yeah. You never know. Well, but then you can look at other like body types of like different like Roy and stuff. Like he's not necessarily
the biggest dude.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
good point.
Exactly. So just because he doesn't have like Stephen Amell's body type doesn't mean that he wouldn't be.
We all moan.
We all moaned. We all moaned in hunger when she said Stephen Amell's body. I was like,
But he might not have that body, but he'll have more agility, things like
What I was curious about is like, are we going to see a change in character? Is he going to be brooding? Are we going to see a brooding, not like shitty emo Barry that we saw, but are we going to see like badass kind of like hard nosed Barry?
Of course. I feel like, yeah. Absolutely.
And then we'll see kind of a light, quirky Oliver?
I hope so.
I hope so, right?
That just watching Stephen Amell be just fun.
Kind of like Grant is.
Yeah.
I would be all for that.
And again, this is why I'm so excited. And it doesn't have to be canon.
No.
They got to keep this goddamn idea. They could kill whoever they want.
Yeah.
They could do whatever they want. Which kind of leads us into this story that I just found before the show.
Okay.
And this is what we told Angelica. Don't look at the notes real quick because we want to know your reaction to this.
So one more. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll do this. And I want to talk about the other thing after that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do this. So I'm going to read this to you. Okay. I'm going to read this to you and I want to see what you say. Okay. Cassandra Jean Amell joins Arrowverse crossover as Mr. Freeze's wife. All right. So let me read the article. The Arrowverse crossover is keeping it in the family with the latest addition. Cassandra Jean Amell, the real life wife of Arrow lead Stephen Amell, will play Nora Freeze, the wife of classic DC Comics villain Mr. Freeze, in the multi-show event TV Line has learned. Will the baddie Mr. Freeze himself be appearing in the crossover? A spokesperson from Warner Brothers TV tells TV Line that the extremely chill villain who on Gotham, for example, has been played by Nathan Darrow will not be making an appearance.
That's fine.
Also, Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be showing up as well.
That's kidding. Also fine.
I don't know. I kind of liked his Mr. Freeze just because it was funny. As announced 3 weeks ago, the season 3 night Legendsless event kicking off Sunday, December 9th with this special airing of The Flash will now only introduce viewers to Kate Kane, a.k.a. Gotham Vigilante Bad Woman.
And that will, like, lead into our, like, let's go to the next topic now.
So Now, so we're getting Nora Freeze. Okay. Now let's talk with Angelica about Ruby Rose and Batwoman. Angelica, what was your first impression of the suit of her in costume? Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I mean, cool. Like, I feel like I can't really judge it yet until I see it in action.
That's a fair point.
So my thoughts on it, I thought it looked really good. Yeah. I thought the texture of the suit looked good. The cowl looked really cool. It was very accurate as far as like.
I know you guys were like picking at the paneling in the front, but I was like, that might purely be because it makes more sense for like
movement-wise. Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I looked at it.
I want to be able to turn my head.
Well, that and just like my arms need to move.
Yeah.
I have to have it somewhere.
You bring up a good point, Angelica, that it's hard to pass judgment on something from one image.
Especially a doctored image.
That's the thing too. I feel like with our superhero like advertisement images and stuff like that, like I have a really hard time judging those costumes just because I'm like, I feel like the moment where I'm like yes or no is when I see them moving. And that's what I really need.
That's a good point.
They can make it look all flowy and everything things longer than they are.
Yeah, because I don't
in that image.
I don't think her cape is gonna have that red veining as
much as you think, because she's gonna be shot at night. Let's be completely honest. They're not gonna have her during
the day. And that looks like an enhancement of like this is a detail that it does have, but you're never gonna fucking see it. So I want you to see it.
That's a great point. Remember when we all looked at the Batfleck costume at San Diego and we saw the mud built up on the bottom, or that brown staining on the bottom of his cape?
Yeah.
You never once see that shit in the movie.
Yeah.
Not once. Oh. Not once. And I think you're right. You bring up that great point of being able to see it on scene. When I first saw the Batfleck, I was like, nah. And then when I finally saw it in like
with the filter
with and the filter and moving, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm sold. You know, like, so I think, and I think she'll do really well as this character. And I told everyone last week, the only thing that I have that I don't want to be a thing with this Elseworlds is I don't want her to be a throwaway. I want her to be part of the universe.
God, I hope not.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they say they're developing a show for her, but we will see when it comes to it. So you guys want it?
And we all know it depends on the fans.
Yes.
That's very true.
How it reacted, which the reaction to the costume is so much better than the reaction to the casting.
Yeah.
She's not gay enough. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? I don't get it.
What? I don't.
You don't have to cast gay people as
gay
characters.
I think it's called acting.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. What part are you reading for? Well, this is a gay brother of, I ain't sucking no dick. I'm out of here.
Well, it's like, Curtis isn't fucking gay in real life.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You guys suck.
Fans suck. Okay. You want a speculation here?
Oh, shit.
I read something that they said there will be Easter eggs and things in this episode that you'll never see again.
Fuck.
John Diggle gets the fucking lantern ring finally.
Oh, don't say
God,
that.
God, how awesome would that be on top of it? Because if they're
I just got a nerd boner.
Dude, if they're switching characters like this, you know, because there's been jokes about since they sent that photo that kind of leaked that Grant and Steven were switching characters.
Yeah.
That they're like, well, why can't Brandon Routh become Superman and Superman become the Atom?
Oh, you know? My God.
And then it was either Steven or one of the writers said that we will have Easter eggs and things that you have never seen before and you will never see again. And there's been so much rumors about Diggle, you know, before he became Spartan, that, you know, with all the Green Lantern teasing that he could actually, you know, take over the Stewart.
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. I'm going to say this right now. John Diggle becomes the Green Lantern in this Elseworlds crossover, I'm going to be even more Team Diggle than I was before.
It would be an awesome spin. If they're completely doing the fuck you to everybody, it's just like, here you go. Again, the badass part of Elseworlds is we can do it, and next week he can be John Diggle, Argus director again, and we don't care.
So does that mean they're going to bring Slade back too, and we could all just be super psyched about Slade being back?
Oh my God, you guys, I can't handle this episode. This is just a dream world episode. I don't know.
Why not?
Elseworld.
Give us everything, right?
World? Give it all. Give us Suicide Squad on top of it. Fuck it.
Okay,
fuck it.
Give it all. I can't. I don't know if I can handle it, but
I'd probably have an meltdown. All right, guys. With that, that's going to do it for news this week. We are going to take a quick break. When we take this quick break, we'll be right back to talk about Arrow Season 7, Episode 1, Inmate 4587. First, quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars. Phone a Butter Tank exclusive.
It's operations.
On Twitter today, Hamill tweeted out, "The to be continued," likely in reference to the still-secret subtitles of Star Wars Episode 9, if indeed the third film in the sequel trilogy begins with the word "the," it would mean that all three of the sequels had subtitles where "the" was the first word. It would also be the fifth of 9 episode movies that begin that way. That is fucking reaching for an article.
You just wasted 5 minutes of my day.
I literally took a gun, put it in my mouth, and I almost pulled the trigger after reading this article. Oh, and now Our listeners are going to do the exact same thing, Dave, because I put them through the same horse shit that I had to go through. Please quit writing articles like this.
Yes, I have to agree. Journalistic integrity, whatever happened to journalistic integrity?
This is also going to be the ninth movie where somebody wore robes and had shoes on. Go fuck yourself! Is comicbook.com really that desperate for clicks?
It's getting that bad now.
Who wrote this article? Russ Burlingame.
You're fired.
Go die.
Go die. But seriously,
are we the only people that get this angry over things, Dave? Like, I feel sometimes when I listen to the show back on the replays, I'm like, man, I get really aggressive. But are other people get annoyed by stupid shit? Like what Russ Burlingame made us go through?
You are not a journalist. Yeah. You are not a journalist.
They should be Boba Fett, right? Boba Fetted right into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. I'm like, going,
they should die early. David,
no research.
They should die early. They should die early like Val. All right. I don't wish death on anybody, but probably... but possibly Russ Burlingame. Yes, for sure.
Possibly.
From thebattank.com for details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? If you have, this is what you've missed.
Yeah. Sure, son. And story over. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And scene.
Fuck, we're going to need like 35 more minutes of cape shit.
Oh, boy. Wow. Would that have been a doozy of an episode? Tell you what. Why didn't they just do that?
Training montage, cape.
Throw my cape now. Try to get some bad guys down on the ground and throw them up into the air and knock someone out. Really good on the improv.
I am beyond impressed right now.
I know.
Good
Damn.
Job.
Like
good job.
Thanks, guys.
That would have been.
I don't even know what to do now. I feel like we're done.
But
I
think
over.
Done. Bye. Bye, guys.
Have a good night.
Mike, I got the next promo.
Don't miss DC on CW every week on Rain Man Digital, covering topics from Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
No.
What?
I would eat.
We live.
Literally.
We do not live in a third world country.
I'm aware.
You don't need to eat your best friend when they die. And you don't need
any shit you find in your backyard.
I would literally eat everything that I just listed off without a beat. If something is prepared in such a way that it is meant for human consumption.
Okay.
Is your bucket list just a menu?
Thomas, hold on a second. Better question. Andrew, if, let's say there were 7 or 8 people stranded on an island.
Mm-hmm.
There was no food, but what, there was like 9 of you.
Sure.
Okay. And you decided that Thomas Cowley who died, unfortunately, in the accident. Oh, he didn't survive. Let's say you guys need food.
Yes.
And you found a way.
Situation. Donner dinner party,
you
right?
found a way to keep Thomas's body from decomposing, let's say. All right? Mm-hmm. Survivor 1 chose to eat his arm.
Okay.
Survivor 2 ate his legs. And all that was left was a crispy dick.
You wonder why we're not going to be on air, like, syndicated.
I would go for a kidney, a heart, or a liver.
There's nothing else left.
Literally
it's,
just
it's a skeleton with a
survivor. Survivors 1 through 12 picked it up.
Of the 9.
Yeah, you were the runt of the survivors. And all that was left was a meaty cock.
It is an extreme situation.
Okay, so we're going like a month, for 3 weeks to sake. A month yes. without food. Yes.
You just admitted you'd eat Thomas's cock.
In an extreme situation where cannibalism is not off the table.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? Catch up on all of our discussions from Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Just search DC on CW on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
It looks like Oliver's going to be in prison for a while, ladies and gents. You know, I don't...
Which I'm...
Go ahead.
I'm glad that they're sticking with, like... I don't know what they're doing, but I'm glad it's just not like, burp, he's out, like... Problem solved.
I actually agree.
Me too. I think that was our biggest worry coming in from last season to this season was this can't be a bullshit like, all right, time served. Thank you for everything you're doing. Go back out and be a good guy.
No, this is, you guys want me to be honest here? I hope this lasts to the mid-season.
I love it. And I love how they're milking it too, like with his character and stuff. And at no point was I ever like, oh, Oliver's being a bitch.
No.
And stuff. Like, at no point was I like, he's being a coward. Like, little twerp said he was. It's like, how are you not?
What gang were you in? I want to be in that gang.
Yeah, what gang is that, man?
Yeah.
Can I just tell you guys right now?
Mr. Arrow.
Stephen Amell is fucking yoked in this. He looks like season one yoked, dude. He was fucking ripped in season one. He looks like he is in a. He is ripped, dude.
But
he's intimidating.
He's incredible, especially with the beard. The beard makes him look more intimidating.
He looks like a Sons of Anarchy character.
He does.
At one point during Comic-Con, and I looked terrified. I was just terrified. I was like, I have to go now. Like, I'm not allowed to be here.
It's
made eye contact, and I got scared.
It's a different type of intimidating too, because it's not like Diggle. Diggle's just a big dude. He's tall. And his arms are the size of my legs.
He's just a teddy bear.
With Amell, with the scarring on his face, you know, and the beard and the shaved, he looks like a Sons of Anarchy character.
And it's the first time they showed the scarring throughout his body too in a while. But again, I love his commitment to the character, because if we're supposed to believe that this man's been doing nothing but pull-ups, push-ups.
All you got is time and fucking and the slammer.
And he comes back in like the normal shape that he was in before.
Yeah.
You don't know.
This I don't dude, believe that.
If this dude's really doing this, he committed to the character and he worked his ass off all summer to get in that shape.
Well, I remember because I follow him on Instagram. I remember seeing him do two-a-days.
Yeah.
And doing some shit that I would never think of doing in the gym. And I'm in pretty good shape right now. Probably the best shape of my life personally. And there's no way I could do half that shit in there, dude. He's doing these weird fucking push-ups with ropes and dangling his legs and he like all kinds of body shit. And I'm like, there's no way, dude. He is committed to his character. And I tell you what, dude. When I see an actor committed to a character like that, that means he fucking loves the character. Or he's getting paid a lot of money.
I feel like now it's like when we were talking about him getting to play like the Flash and stuff like that. Like there's little things where you just like see him smile more and more. And it's like, it's back. Like that spark is back. And I know he's always been in love with Arrow. He's always like had that passion for it. But it feels like now finally everything's starting to flow and get back on board. So now it's like, I am 120% committed.
And we all feel it, like, too. And it's got to be the, like, you know, the change in showrunners, having Beth Schwartz take over the show. And we noticed it as reviewers that the tone changed, the acting changed, the, you know, it just wasn't so stale anymore. And that's continued on. And for anything that we do, we know we get excited when there's something new. That there, you know, you feel something inside that you want to go ahead and push it forward. And it's coming out in the characters and the acting that we're seeing.
I totally agree. And one of the things that I loved about this episode, 100%, the first face that we see that's in prison is Bronze Tiger. Dude, I got giddy as fuck. And that, I'm not even a huge Bronze Tiger fan. Just the fact that Michael Jai White showed up again as Bronze Tiger was dope. What about fucking Samson?
Yeah.
Again, Cody. Yeah. Cody shows up again. Another character that we liked. These are all. I forget the other guy's name. I forget his name. But
stereotypical British dude.
In everything movie. That he's ever been in.
probably robbed a bank, I'm guessing.
But these are characters that we're familiar with. And that was one of the things that I was like, if he's going to jail, like where he puts all everyone in the slammer, he's probably going to run into some people that he put in there, right?
Yeah.
So what a great way to, A, bring Bronze Tiger back because they shelved his ass after the Suicide Squad thing. What a great way to bring him back. You know, I just think that was smart of them to do that. It makes you giddy as a fan. You've been watching for what, you know?
7 years.
7 years now. And these are characters that we remember. The little short guy that he runs into, we saw him before too, right?
I thought that was just me.
The thing that I can't, I see that guy's face, and the only thing I remember is he was in Friday the 13th, and Freddy killed him, by taking his hearing aids out. That's the only thing that I remember, dude. That's the only thing I could ever remember him from. And I feel shitty about that. Not really, because it is kind of funny. But
you took his hearing aids.
Yeah, I'm not an asshole like that. I would never take someone's hearing aids. That's fucked up. But, I mean, just overall, you can feel the vibe of this episode. This got a 9.4 out of 10. Rate.
What?
Yes.
Yay, good.
Again, I think we're in the right track. I am so psyched. Just the characters showing up, the familiar faces, you know. Let's just jump right in. I want to talk about the fucking fight scene.
If they did not do that, you totally missed an opportunity.
Right.
They had to do that. It'd be dumb of them not to.
Can we talk? Let's just jump right into it, okay? Let's talk about the shower fight scene, okay?
Ah!
First of all... The fight choreography was brutal.
And good camera blocking for hiding cock.
Very, very, very good cock blocking. Legit.
Legitimate cock blocking.
Legitimate cock blocking. I dug the choreography, though.
Yes.
It's a prison fight. It's going to be brutal as fuck,
and
right?
And shanks and
stabbing. And dude, he kicked the one dude through the wall, bro.
And showers.
Yes.
That's what you need in prison.
Yeah, dude. Like, that was awesome. Awesome. Awesome shots.
That leg strength.
Yeah. Oh. Man, his quads.
Do you think he was just like, I have to diet down because I'm doing this naked scene and I need all, like, can you get me a little bit wet so my muscles glisten?
Oh my God, dude. He's like, no, I don't want water. Where's the baby oil?
Yeah. I need glisten. I don't need wet.
He's like, hey, Cody, you got some of that baby oil you use when you wrestle? Give me some of that shit. He just fucking this.
Do you think his wife is now on the show because she was just there all the time now? She's just like, he looks fucking hot. I'm there all the time. She's like there with the oil. Just like.
She's like, nobody else touch.
Yeah, nobody else touch him. Let me put the oil on him.
This is just for me.
Let me get right in his dick, V. Let me get that right there, that oil down in there.
I don't blame her. Good for her.
Maybe she put it on with her mouth.
I would. Baby oil? Yes, absolutely. 100%. Fuck yeah.
I can't argue it. He is in insane shape. And that fight scene, it was believable. I think that was the biggest thing about that fight scene is that all the camera angles and blocking, and yes, we're laughing about the blocking, but the way they blocked it and the way they made it look brutal.
It was beautiful. It was shot like, in so all honesty, well. Like, it stopped me because I was just like, every piece of this scene is amazing. Like, yes, we have a fucking fine specimen right here, but Everything, the movement, the camera angles, how it was shot, directed, everything was done, and music was done perfectly.
And you can't help but know that Stephen Amell did the whole thing, because you ain't getting another half-naked dude that looks like that.
No way, dude. No nope. way. Not a chance. No.
That was that
you,
man.
Why would you waste that? Fuck that. Dude.
That was a good shot, dude.
And just like the way it ended, where it's just like, you know, we're killing your wife.
Dude, that was brutal.
I like what they're doing with this character, where he like seems to be at peace until you push him over the edge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they pushed him over the edge and then he just snapped.
Can we talk? Okay, let's talk about that. Cause that I know we're jumping way ahead, but it doesn't really matter. Fuck it. This is our show. We can do
what
whatever the fuck we.
What book did he check out of the library is what I
That book,
know.
I don't know what the fuck he hit that dude with, but he beat the fuck out of that dude with the book. And then he smacked the guy with a 45 pound fucking weight. Dude,
he'd be dead. He would 100%
dude,
be dead.
Dude, if you hit somebody in the chest with a 45-pound weight like that, you would break their ribs, dude.
Yeah.
He fucked that guy up, and then he proceeded to punch the fuck out of his face. Like,
okay, so do you want me to get all, like, wax kind of, like, philosophy with you? He used the Count of Monte Cristo.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
It was the Count of... I know that story.
And explain the story then.
So the Count of Monte Cristo is about a guy who was falsely accused, spent 10 years in prison, escapes from his prison, and gets revenge on the people who framed him. Holy motherfuck, dude. How did you... Where did you find that? Did you look? Did you?
No, I remember reading... Like, I... Okay, so again, 250 shows.
Okay.
I've been on almost all of these. I look for things. There's always those hidden meanings in those things. And if you remember when we did the Aquaman breakdown, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, we did this pilot of Aquaman. They had a book in there that they were following also.
Good segue.
Yeah, you like that?
That was great. Promotion. That was great. This is a very good promo.
But so I was reading the book, and remember, he put the picture down on the thing, and you could read in the embossed thing was Count of Monte Cristo, and he picked it up and went after him.
Dude, okay. I just want to let you guys know. That I just got goosebumps from that. Secondly, if you've never read The Count of Monte Cristo or seen the movie, because the movie's pretty damn close, you should check it out. And the fact that Oliver picks up The Count of Monte Cristo and beats the fuck out of that dude with it might be the greatest thing I've ever heard. That is some symbolism if I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat the fuck out of you for exactly what I'm going through right here with the goddamn thing that I'm going through. And he beats you with a book. And that was brutal, dude. I mean, I'm telling you right now, for him to be unwilling, and I don't want to use unwilling. Unwilling is not the right word. For him to
be a pacifist.
Be a pacifist when we've seen him be nothing but stand up for the little guy and be the one. For him to be a pacifist because his family and he wants to make sure they're safe is huge. But here's the thing. You back the Wolverine in the corner too many fucking times and he's going to come out and claw your fucking ass. And that's exactly what he did. Talk about sending a message right in the fucking yard, and he just beats the fuck out of a dude with a book, and then
I love how that all went down.
I was legit like, yes, yeah, and the way he ended it, the way he
nope, I love,
just
I love
kneels
that.
Down and puts his hands behind his head, dude.
Well, yeah, that going back into his prison cell and wiping the days.
Oh God!
Like, I guess start I fucked over. Up the 6 months.
Fuck, dude.
But I mean. With the conversation with Diggle when he came, like, I'm worried about what this is going to do to express who you are. And then everything happens with fucking Mushmouth coming in and almost killing Felicity. And then that interaction.
Oh, that was rough.
Oliver,
I almost cried.
Felicity, like that brief conversation about to have, you felt so much in that room.
I think
like they set the atmosphere so well in that tiny room, intimate and enclosed them, even though they have a wall between them.
It's such a moral dilemma with what we have going on, is that Oliver wants to be the Arrow. He wants to be Green Arrow, but he can't protect these people inside, because if he does, now he's going to run the risk of never getting out and seeing his family again, which is the ultimate goal. But I also, on the other hand, you can't hold someone like that back. You can't hold someone who's determined to do the right thing. And I think that's what we saw. We saw the guy snap and be himself. And I think if you – that's the biggest – of course, I've never been to prison, so I can't say, but
– I feel like it has to – I feel like it's not just like the snap of that. It's – no, it's a bit of anger at Felicity for being like, no, I can't just go back into protection.
Right.
I can't just not fight. And, I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of anger with her not complying and being, yes, I'm going to get some sort of mind. So, yes, he had every right to snap because of them trying to and send a message, but also because I wonder if it's a little bit like, well, life isn't going to I'm going to fight then.
It's a dilemma, right? And it's not just it's not just a shitty dilemma that we have here. This is an actual big time decision that Oliver has to make. And that's why I truly believe that we'll see Oliver in jail till at least the midseason. If not, if what do we typically go to? 8 episodes and then the midseason? Seven.
Yeah. And of course, the 8th one is usually the crossover.
So I'm thinking if it's not midseason, it's at least 5 to 6 episodes.
Well, the funny thing is he shaved already because for the crossover. I wonder if it'll like incorporate that into the prison thing or he'll have time off to grow it back.
Well, that's a good point too.
Because we're getting to the, you know, 8 or 9. I think 10 is like the midseason finale. So
I'm going to be honest. I want it to go to the midseason. I want to see more of Oliver's moral dilemma here. A person who is a truly good person and has to fight,
well, just, you know, the struggle of knowing what's going on the outside to his friends, his family, his city, but knowing that he can't do anything to get away from the inside, you know, it was such a perfect balance this week of, you know, Star City prison, you know, and we weren't distracted or wanting to get back to one another. They gave us just enough of one, you know.
That's very true.
And it wasn't like, oh, this storyline sucks. But no, you're seeing his city struggle without him. And you're seeing, you know, so.
Even like the story with like Team B, how they like related it to the city. Every single character I was interested in.
Yeah, that's like, so
everyone's
true.
Everyone's story was interesting and it all tied together so well. See, like it flowed.
See, this is when time sped up makes sense. It makes sense for time to be sped up in this type of situation. And I think we've all had a problem with that long jump in a show of like what's happened in those last 6 months. We don't need to fucking know. We get our answers from every character. Felicity's in witness protection program with William, right? So we see we get our answers of what was going on with everyone that's important in the show, which is good. And I think that's when time sped up is okay, you know? Talking about Felicity, what did you guys think about seeing her die right off the bat getting fucking shot? I was like, oh, fuck. Whoa.
I was so confused.
I was confused and I was just like, no, what's happening?
Now, let me ask you this, Angelica. Two seasons ago, would you have been upset if she got shot? It's crazy how much she's changed. It's crazy how much he's changed, right? Because that opening scene, I was like, oh, shit. What? No. Come on. But I knew and then at the same time, I was like, this has got to be fake. They're on the island.
That's what was strange. Island. I was like, why are we here?
Island.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. But Felicity, her adjustment and I don't know, her sending William away. I was just like, at first I was like, is this a write-off?
Are they getting rid of William?
Yes. And, you know, again, well, yes. Yes and no. you know, but even the we talk about the changing in the writing style. And we always joke about villains monologuing way too much. I laughed
when she said
so fucking hard when she's like, I'm glad you monologue, and smacks him in the head with the coffee pot.
Dude, that was funny. That was very, very funny because we always make fun of the monologue thing. And for her to call him out and then hit him in the head with a pot of coffee and the coffee, that's pretty good.
It was pretty good.
So, I mean, I would send William away to witness protection because, not, you know, away to the school.
Right.
You know, because it just seems, not because she can't protect it, but she feels like she has a bigger purpose in this life. And I think that's what they set up the whole time while that dude's bringing in his laptop to the coffee shop, being like, oh, let me do it. And she's like, oh, you missed this, 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 and this. And the guy's like, why are you here? Why are you doing
this? Yeah, why are you being a barista when you could fucking code?
Yeah. Like, and I think she felt that inside her. Like, I have a bigger purpose in life. I really am not able to protect William. You know, William's bored at his school. He doesn't want to do, you know, like, let's send him away.
Can someone just answer why she just doesn't go work at Argus?
I was wondering the same thing after, you know.
Just go work at Argus, dude. You got Diggle there. You got Curtis there. Like, just go work at Argus. You can hack anything.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just go work there? It always seems so weird
like
to me.
That's not, I feel like that goes back to, like, Rebel Felicity. Like, I don't think she would want that much structure. That's too, yeah, that's way too much structure. No. Wouldn't do that.
She wants to be rogue and be able to do her thing on her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess. I mean, I feel like Argus has got to pay six figures, right? Like, you would really think about it. Like, Argus probably pays good money. You know, you got Diggle there. What if they gave her, like, her own, like, hey, here's your own R&D lab. Do whatever you want. You mean, Diggle's in charge. He could make that happen.
I don't know if I want that for her.
No, I want her being rogue and out there and trying to help her husband, you know, track down the dragon and just be on her own.
I guess.
The Overwatch character has always been where she's at.
That's true. She's that's very true. That's very, very true. She's fit right into that character very, very well.
Yeah, even though we can't call her that, but whatever.
Yeah, we're not allowed to care. Yeah, we're not allowed to call her that. What was her code name again? What was her one they made up?
I forgot. It's amazing how a couple months off and I forget everything.
Guys.
Oracle? Just kidding.
Was Overwatch.
Overwatch, yeah.
Why would we can't call her Oracle.
Yeah. Oracle, that's what we can't call her. They both start with an O, whatever. Guys, RMD's Halloween Podtacular Special. This Halloween, Rain Man Digital gets into the spirit of this things with seasonal programming. Supernatural, Star Wars, Constantine, Batman, RPGs, and more. Keep your eyes peeled. These theme podcast episodes will be dropping randomly throughout the month of October via Rain Man Digital's stable of shows. They're going to be pretty cool, guys. We got some pretty neat shows lined up for
you. I have a question.
Yes.
How is Star Wars Halloween?
I'm sure they can make something. Mike will figure it out. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Don't ask us questions on shows we're not on.
Yeah, I'm not on that show. I can answer the Supernatural one. I know that one, but I can't answer the other one.
Everyone knows the fucking Supernatural's Halloween-y. Duh.
I know.
We know that. I get it. Ghosts. All the things spooky ever. Yeah, got it.
Nailed very good it. Synopsis. Fine. That was very
but
good.
Star Wars? The fuck?
This is amazing.
What Star Wars costume are you going to wear? Duh. Like,
don't stop. Keep going.
I'm done.
All right.
I can't wait for my.
Thank you for letting me ruin your commercial.
All right. That's all right. It's a live read. You're allowed to chime in.
I forgot.
That might be the best interruption ever in a live read.
God damn it. I always forget when we're
Now, let's talk about the Team B or everyone else on the show. First, we're going to talk about Diggle. So we find that, you know, Diggle is running Argus. Where's Lila? What did he say? Where did he say she was? She was off handling something or handling the fuck up. So Diggle's in charge, dude. He's in charge of Argus. And I'm so on the fence about this. I love Diggle. I think that's pretty well known.
Yeah.
I don't like him in that fucking costume. I don't like him in the Argus suit.
No.
I think he looks shitty in it.
It seems too stiff for
him. It's too stiff. He needs a nice V-neck, a nice black V-neck with some tight sleeves so we can see his muscles glistening.
Do you think maybe that's the point, though, is, again, going back to Argus structure and everything, that, like,
that's what's going to draw them all back together?
Yep. Yep.
Hate this suit. Fuck it.
I hate this uniform. Fuck this shit.
When you go, you're able to do things on your own terms without rules.
Yeah. It's very true,
and
dude.
You get structured. And after a while, you see that this might not work. This vigilante thing might be the way.
Dude.
Because if you look at them all, they're all trying to be on the straight and narrow.
That's so true.
And it's got to pain them sometimes.
It sucks, dude.
Because you saw it throughout the episode. You know, we saw Renee start being fucking Robin Hood and stealing the money from the bad guys and giving it to all the poor businesses. And
that was so fantastic.
That was cool.
Their conversation together. He's just like, oh, I don't know. I love that. And you know what? That is the first time in a long time, or maybe ever, I've been like, I fucking love Renee. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's the first time that's happened. They're making relatable, lovable, like, oh.
What if? No. No. It was a stupid theory. I enjoy the fact that you see them trying to go legit, right? I enjoy that. You know, Renee's got the boxing gym, which is what the original character was all about anyways.
Yeah.
And for him to have that, his daughter's with him and she's learning to fight or, you know, to box. I love that whole.
And bringing the Glades back into it, which is a huge part of Green Arrow.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we see Dinah as the captain of the police force. And I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay with that. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we see Curtis's boyfriend have a larger part. He's more visible now.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific works at Argus with Diggle, which I don't think of a better place to put him. Where the hell else would he be?
So they swerved me a little bit because I thought this was going to be like Felicity Tech or, you know, one of their when he comes up in this suit. Yeah. I thought they actually went forward
with their company. You
know, their startup.
Yeah.
But what I do appreciate is, like, again, they set this all up to where they have all these people being on the straight and narrow. But we saw Dinah be like, all right, well, let's go to Argus and use our source.
Our network, yeah.
Yeah, and then Terrific's like, well, this is not exactly legal, but we'll do it anyways. And they're all sitting there at, like, this government facility breaking fucking rules.
I think it's funny because
I don't have time to wait for.
Yeah, this. for a warrant or whatever I would need.
You know, it's hard I just to think, you know, break old habits.
So the episode could have been called The Straight and Narrow.
Oh. I just think it's a nice take.
Because everyone's going through.
It's a nice take to see them trying to you know, pad the line, you know, like walk the line and try to be legit. But like Bob said, you go so long without any restraints, you have no restrictions, and then you have to be restricted. You're going to fucking hate it, dude.
Yeah. Well, I always like it compared to me raising Harley. I can't allow her from day one to run around and do whatever she wants. And then when I get annoyed with it, tell her to stop.
Right.
You know, you try to set rules from the beginning.
You look like a hypocrite. Yeah.
You set rules from the beginning. Well, these guys have been running free for the last couple seasons doing whatever they want. And you now they're just like, the rules are kind of sucky.
Yeah, the rules suck. I don't really want to abide by these.
Yeah, like I really can't get the evidence in time. So what can we do?
The only one that seems to be fine is Dinah. She's
even at that though. Like she went to Argus to like break the rules. I think yes, she's the one that's following it best. But I feel like that's still gonna rise up eventually.
That's true. That's a good point. I want to nitpick one thing.
Okay.
And this is just stupid me and firearms. When she's standing in the office with Renee and she cocks the pistol and puts it in her holster. If you go back and watch the episode, when she puts the pistol in the holster, the slide is all the way locked back. So like, and I don't know if you guys know anything, but when you put a pistol in a holster, you want the slide to be forward, right? So she puts it in the holster. The slide is locked all the way back, and you can see it sticking out of the holster as she's walking. And you can tell she's trying to avoid it.
Like, that's funny.
You can tell she's avoiding it. It was something I picked up that was really funny. But that scene with her, you can tell – you're right, Angelica. She is absolutely trying to toe the line. She's probably the one handling it the best because she's in the most official role. I wouldn't say Diggle official role at Argus because, you know, Lila is in charge of Argus. But – I would say she's the one that has the most official role in the city because I never really thought of Argus being in the city. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of eyes on her being that she's a police
captain
and a known vigilante that only got off because Oliver is in jail.
Exactly. And I think that's another thing that I wanted to talk about is like we see Renee you're that mad dog guy, right? Like, dude, your identity is out. That's not good. Like, same thing with her, with Dinah. It's so.
Yeah, but Renee is the only one that actually was going to turn witness.
Yeah,
the rest of them weren't there. It was just kind of behind the scenes.
Can we talk about how awkward it was seeing Black Siren as the DA? Did anyone else feel real awkward?
Oh yeah,
that was super weird.
I think when she came on, I was like, oh yeah, that's not her. That's weird.
Like at first, you're like, oh Laurel, and then you're like, wait, that's Black Siren. Oh,
you would think Black Siren would be hiding a lot more, being that the dragon doesn't want her around either.
Right, he wants her dead. Right. You would think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was weird. That was the one I was like, oh yeah, she's back, sort of.
Again, it was a 30-second scene. It was just kind of just like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Remember, I'm here.
Remember, guys, hey, I'm the 15th Laurel. I'm here. I don't know. It was just weird. That one was weird. All right, let's talk about the biggest mystery. Let's talk about the biggest question in this whole fucking episode. The new Green Arrow.
Really? That's your question? Really? You didn't figure
it
out?
Well, I figured it out, but I'm saying that was the biggest question that came out of this episode. Jesus. Thanks for calling me out.
Yeah.
We talked about Dinah wanting to really walk the straight and narrow, and she wants to turn him in. And I'm going to argue for her side. Okay?
Free my friend, right?
She doesn't know who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about it this way, okay, she knew Oliver. She knew Oliver's motivation. She knew that he was there to help the greater good, right? Not knowing who this could be a copycat. This could be someone who's playing kind of like he wants to be a good guy, but really wants to be a bad guy. So her motto in this is, I don't know who this is. I don't know this person's modus operandi, right? Renee, on the other hand, says he could have killed me. He could have, you know, and he didn't. He saved my life. Why would he save my life if, you know, he was a bad guy?
But don't you kind of feel like on the Dinah side where she's trying to get the respect back for the cops?
Yes, I am. And there's the other double-edged sword. You have to think in a city that has lots of vigilantes, cops are pretty much worthless.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean like.
Yeah. The red and the sirens come and you're just like, yeah.
We're done, dude.
Can I get like a real hero?
Yeah. Well, it's like you think about it this way. I always use Spider-Man as there's dudes fucking, you know, spider webbed up on the goddamn light pole. Like you just show up. All you're doing is booking dudes in and writing paperwork, which cops don't want to do anyways.
Yeah.
So you make the cops. Yes, you make the cops look bad, especially 6 months without a vigilante. And you got to think in those 6 months, the cops have been doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With Dinah being the police captain, they've got to be doing their job. So the respect is starting to grow. Now you have the vigilante, the Green Arrow, come back and kill all that confidence that they had in the cops. So it's a double-edged sword. If you really look at it, it's a double-edged sword. And I can understand Renee's point. I can understand Dinah's point. Now, do I want him back? Absolutely. It's a Green Arrow, dude. Like, of course, yeah. I want a good vigilante. Like, I'm watching the show for superheroes. That's the whole point. I'm watching the show, right? I'm not watching this.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here for superheroes. I'm not here for drama, right?
I'm not here for NYPD Blue.
Yeah, I don't need NYPD. Yeah, I don't need CSI, okay? You know, I'm here for fucking superheroes. So it's such a dilemma with them trying to walk the straight and narrow. Now, we see at the end of this episode, first of all, did you know that was when we first saw I guess that's a flash forward. If you first saw, of course, we didn't know that when we first watched it, but did you think that was William?
No.
I did not either. Angelica? No way. I was like, who the fuck is this? I was like, who is this? Why does this matter? I know he's going to Leon Yu.
Were you going to one of those things? You're like, don't introduce another asshole that we don't care about.
Dude, I was like, oh, great. Another fucking character. Great.
Or like, what is this flashback?
Well, part of me was like, is that supposed to be Tommy? Why not just fucking
right. Well, like, and then I thought, oh, great. Another fucking flashback. Even when he picked up the Robert Queen headstone, like if it would have been someone that someone new that died, I'd been like, so they did it right. They showed a headstone of someone we were like, he's already been dead. This is a flashback.
And it makes sense now because it's grandpa.
Yeah. And he says, you know,
it's so
good. It was so good. And it was like, it was they fooled you into thinking it was a flashback until the really fucking end. And you're like, oh, fuck, that's Roy. But I was like, oh, it's Roy Harper. Okay, so this is like same timeline. Why is Roy in the Red Hood car? Why is he on Leon Yu? I'm like, didn't he run away with fucking...
Manny got old.
Manny got old quick. Jesus Christ.
Which I remember when they said that he was becoming a regular, that they said it wasn't the Roy Harper that we knew. And we're just like, what the fuck is that? What's going on? Yeah, what does that mean? Well, because he's 20 years older.
Yeah, we know. So are we, instead of getting flashbacks this season, are we getting flash forwards with William and Roy, and Roy teaching William? I'm not going to lie. I'm all for it, dude.
We've always wanted like the Connor Hawk character.
Yes. I'm all for it.
I know. I yelled at the end of the episode. I go, fuck yes. Connor Hawk, like all by myself.
We always talk about flashbacks, and we always talk about if they make sense to the story. And if Oliver
flashbacks
learned
in the island.
Yes, in the island. If they make sense for the story and we see Oliver learn something and he applies that learning to what we're dealing with in the present, we were for that. This is different. This is a flash forward. This is something where we see in the future.
So, and what were your questions when you saw him give Roy the arrowhead or the rock?
Well, when he first said it, I was like, huh? And then he showed the rock and I was like, huh? And then as soon as Roy said William, I went, what?
It's like, what happened to Oliver? What happened to Felicity? Where, like, what was that scene we saw at the beginning now?
How the fuck does he get back to the fucking...
fucking Pat? Tire
Yes,
travel.
How though? Because we've never really seen...
He went to Cambridge, just kidding.
We've never really seen time travel in Arrow. We've seen it in the Arrowverse, but not in Arrow. So how the fuck does he get back? And you see... And now you realize when he's sitting there making the arrows and he crosses the name off, where did that list come from? Is that can't be Robert Queen's list. Maybe it is.
Where are we?
This is so crazy, man.
So you're going, and let's just spell it out for everybody. William is the Green Arrow.
Yes, he is the new Green Arrow. That we figured out. But what I don't think they're going to tell us is how the fuck he got.
Do we go back to the mysticism of the island and all the stuff that we saw in the weird year?
Maybe.
The intrigue of the island and everything happening with Roy now is how are we getting to our timeline?
Well, what I want to know why is Roy on Leon Yu as an old crotchety Red Arrow?
I think something happened to Thea.
Oh, dude, there's so much.
But that's exciting. And we always love this.
Yeah.
This is what a premiere should be. It should leave us with more questions than answers and us looking forward and doing these speculations.
And not just questions that these are questions that we look forward to seeing. These are questions that I'm excited to see where this season goes with. You know, sometimes showrunners or show writers will leave us with questions and you're like, fuck, man, I don't give a fuck. These are not those questions. Mm-hmm. These are like, I care about every question that popped up in this. And I think, I don't know which one I'm more excited for, to be completely honest. I mean, we kind of figured out that William is the Green Arrow. That's fine. But there are other questions. Why is Roy old? Why is he in the Red Arrow costume or the Arsenal costume on Leon Yu, of all places to be?
Yeah.
Right? The most cursed island in the fucking world, or at least in the Arrowverse.
I think it's cool, too, that they actually are being like, guys, we're going to tell stories. We're going to have questions, but we're going to answer them. Like episode one, who is this new Arrow? Don't worry, answered it first episode. More questions, though, but they're giving that promise of, like, we're not going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many shows nowadays that are just like, we don't want you to expect anything, so we're going to give you no answers.
Come back for episode 12. Wait, yeah. We're on one.
I hate that, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that they are telling a story, tying loose ends, even if it's something at the beginning, but it's building in good writing, guys.
Yes.
Like, oh. My heart is happy.
Let's jump into our final thoughts. I'm going to go first. This was a fucking kick-ass premiere.
Best premiere in
in a while.
Maybe since we started?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I actually probably wouldn't argue with you. I mean, the thing that we got, and Angelica hit the nail on the head, is that we got answers to some questions, but they gave us more questions. And the questions that they gave us weren't bullshit.
No.
I felt like the time sped up. The 6 months in between last season and this season was perfectly done. I felt like the episode overall, the shots, the oh shit moments were all, again, well done. The shower fight scene might be one of the best fight scenes we've seen in a long, long time.
Most memorable. That's for most, sure.
Stupid. But I think that this is one hell of a premiere. And obviously, depending on what Legends does, I think this right now wins. I'm excited. I don't think I was this excited after the premiere of last season. I am genuinely fucking excited for this season, and I'm excited to see where we go. And seeing Oliver and seeing Stephen Amell in just absolute Arrow season one shape, being ripped as hell, looking like Oliver Queen. This is going to be such a sick season. I have very, very high hopes for it. This is a great premiere. This is what I want out of a premiere. If we get premieres like this and mid-season finales and finales like this, shit, I'd be all in. What do you think, Angelica?
Tell me more stories. They're doing, like I said, writing is absolutely, has me intrigued. The characters are all very lovable, intriguing. They are doing a great job of sucking us in, and that is the point of a first episode of the season. Suck us in. Did that. I would say, if I had to give any type of critique at all, the music throughout the episode was either a little bit loud or overwhelming. Kind of took me out of it, and I feel like music is more so to set the tone, not to advertise a song. And I kind of,
that's a good point.
That's just me personally. I'm super picky. And that would be literally the only thing that I could nitpick, because everything else, fantastic, from camera work to character building, writing. Yep, this has been the best. This has been the best episode
I feel the same way. Like I said, you know, us three are going on our fourth year of doing this. So this means this is our fourth premiere. And I remember the first one we did, it was the Flashpoint. And it kind of sucked because it wasn't what we expected. We thought Starling going to Star City was part of a Flashpoint rollover to the Arrowverse. And it didn't happen that way. And, you know, we've seen other things go on season premieres that just weren't this exciting. And it had me going. And it's always easy for me, you know, when I have to put the show notes together, when we have episodes like this, to where it's not very detailed. It's basically, this happened. What do you think is going to happen next? Yeah. And we get to fucking fanboy and fangirl about it for 10 minutes on each topic. And we're not worried about filling time because we're excited to talk about it. I was excited to come in and get this started.
I knew, same dude, absolutely same. I knew that these notes were going to be super short because I knew we were going to talk like motherfuckers about this episode. And I'm hoping... And I know we've got to have filler episodes.
Yeah.
I get that, dude. I get that. But I am excited, genuinely excited for the main story arc this year. I think we've got a really cool recipe for a badass season.
Yep.
100%.
Can I go to Speculation City?
Yeah, go ahead. Please go.
Okay. I think that the reason why Roy is at the island is because of Thea. And I think Thea probably put the hood back on and then died from doing so. And then Roy kind of went off and on his own. And that's why, one, he's in the two. As this Roy died from everyone. And because he wouldn't do it when she was alive and she felt she had to take that on. So I think that's why he got there.
All right. We'll see.
That's a good one.
We'll see. It's exciting.
Yes, it is.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for today's DC on CW Arrow Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. You can also watch us now on Twitch TV, Rain Man Digital. You can watch us there, see our ugly faces. With that, guys, we will see you next week. Can't wait to talk to you.
People want cuddles.